Good to see everybody again that's out. It's good to see folks from Grapevine over and have Brother Chuck with us today. And we've been having a good study, as we've said. What I want to do for just a moment before we get into our main points tonight, I want to go over some tools of studying Matthew and introduce you to some tools maybe. There's really two sets of commentaries, or two groups of commentaries, I should say, when it comes to studying the Gospel of Matthew. On the left side of the handout that I've made, I have what I refer to as Church of Christ-based commentaries, or the ones that Church of Christ commentaries come from, and then there are the others from the denominational world. And I think it is important to notice that there are two different groups, because these two groups really do not interact with one another. And what you see happening is, like with Church of Christ background commentaries, they all kind of draw off one another, and they're drawing from the same sources, and they stay within kind of a certain vein. And then the ones from the denominational world, they stay within a certain vein, they quote from one another, but you don't have much crossover between the two. And we'll talk more about that as we go along. But when you think about Church of Christ commentaries we're familiar with, I think about J.W. McGarvey's commentary on Matthew. It's a great commentary on Matthew. That's one that's quoted by Mike Criswell quite a bit in his commentary that we have written down here. You have Kyle Pope, who wrote for the Truth Commentary series that's out amongst the digressives. He quotes from McGarvey quite a bit. You have Harold Fowler, who was a Christian church guy, very conservative. He wrote a massive four-volume set that's very informative on the Gospel of Matthew. He quotes heavily from McGarvey. McGarvey is drawing from men like Linsky's commentary, Adam Clark, John Brodus, and James McKnight. And so whenever you see McGarvey quoting someone, he's quoting from the same sources that future commentaries after him quoted from. So they're all kind of in the same vein, and they all play off one another. And so what that does is they have a similar theme or vision. They may have a few points here and there that they disagree on, or that one develops more than the other, but they're generally speaking within the same vein. On the other hand, you have men like R.T. France. R.T. France was a Church of England guy. He was a very conservative denominational teacher. I discovered France about 2 years ago, I guess, and through France I've discovered a number of other commentaries that are very good and beneficial. You have D.A. Carson. He's a contemporary of R.T. France's. He put out a commentary on Matthew that's in the Expositor's Bible Commentary, and a book here called God With Us. God With Us is kind of a big picture view of Matthew, and I think is a very beneficial book when you're studying to get the big picture of Matthew. You have a man by the name of Charles Quarles, which I have just recently found. He wrote a book called A Theology of Matthew that is it's a very good book. It's a conservatively written book, and the only thing that I've found in it that leaps out as being wrong, he believes in individual election. He gets that wrong. He presents a false view of corporate election, and so he tears down a false view of corporate election in his individual election. But outside of that, that's a very good book and sees some big picture themes that I think we miss sometimes. You have David Turner, Davies and Allison's commentary, Craig Keener, Craig Blomberg, Jack Kingsbury. All those guys are kind of writing after each other and playing off of the research that the other ones have done. And again, this group does not really interact with that group, and that group doesn't interact with this group. And so there are strengths and weaknesses that this group has that this group over here does not share in. They don't have the same strengths, and they also do not have the same weaknesses. And so I think it's important that we understand some of the background. If somebody asked me, what's your number one recommendation for a commentary on Matthew? I don't know that I could give you just one commentary. If you asked me for two, I would probably tell you Mike Criswell's commentary on Matthew, because he's one of our brethren. He's read Fowler. He's kind of a condensed Fowler. He's also read after Linsky and McGarvey and all the other traditional writers, and he gives you a good straightforward presentation of Matthew. Out of the other group, I would probably recommend R.T. France's major commentary on Matthew. It's a large volume, and I think he does very conservatively. He's very conservative, and he introduces a lot of aspects of Matthew that are not touched by the other group. And so I give you that for what that's worth. Talk about just a little bit the strengths and weaknesses of each. On the Church of Christ side, one of the strengths is you have conservative scholarship that believes in a full inspiration of the Bible at all times. When you talk about denominational commentaries, one of the weaknesses is that sometimes you run into what we talked about this morning as Q or mark in priority, and when you see Q, you just have to ignore them. They are dead wrong on Q, and that's all there is to it. One of their strengths, though, is that they do maintain, this group of scholars maintains a high view of Scripture. They are trying to wrestle with the difficulties of Scripture, and they are trying to make the Scriptures make sense and harmonize with one another, and they do hold it up as the Word of God. One of the weaknesses of the Church of Christ commentaries is it doesn't interact much with modern scholarship, and as a result has a little bit of a limited scope or view, I believe, in the Gospel of Matthew. On the other hand, one of the weaknesses of denominational commentaries is that it doesn't interact with Church of Christ sources, which does get really good material too. That's the weakness of each one. Another weakness of Church of Christ ones is it does not wrestle with the big picture of Matthew or the structure of Matthew. And I think that's very important to understand how Matthew is structured. That's what we spent a lot of time talking about this morning, and getting the big picture view. I think they're weak in that area. On the other hand, I think some of the commentaries like Quarles and like D.A. Carson's book are really good on the big picture. And I would recommend, if you're going to study Matthew, you need to read these books to get a big picture view. Over here in the Church of Christ commentaries, the strengths of them. It gets the big issues right. In other words, topics like baptism, the church, the end times, those big issues, it gets them right. On the other hand, a weakness is it doesn't combat premillennialism as strongly as some of the denominational guys. These guys are combating full-fledged with dispensational premillennialists, and they reject it wholeheartedly, and they're dealing with all of the modern arguments that are coming up from dispensationalists. And so that's a strength that Church of Christ commentaries, I think, are a little bit weak on. Usually when they're talking about premillennialism, they're talking about historical premillennialism, which we don't deal as much with today. We're dealing with dispensational. One of the weaknesses, though, of the denominational concepts is that they always miss baptism. You're going to have to go into it with your eyes open. They are going to miss baptism, reject what they're saying about the point of salvation. And sometimes guys get into the refurbished earth theory. That's just a heads up. A strength is they do combat premillennialism. In fact, R.T. France is one of the best reads I've ever found on Matthew chapter 24. And he is just outstanding on the destruction of Jerusalem and then looking forward to the future judgment of Christ. David Turner is looking for every opportunity he can, I feel like, to combat premillennialism, dispensational premillennialism. And he finds things and good arguments to use against premillennialism that I think a lot of people miss out on. One of the weaknesses of the Church of Christ-based commentaries is it misses some of the intertextuality of Matthew. And what I mean by that is how the New Testament uses the Old Testament scriptures. I think that's a little bit of a weak area. As on the other hand, I think the denominational commentaries, I was talking with Ethan about this today, they see where the Bible is quoting from the Old Testament. And they reference the passages, and that doesn't mean they always get them right, but they are saying, here's some passages you need to consider as you're interpreting the Gospel of Matthew. One of the strengths of Church of Christ commentaries is their readability and their clarity. I think they do a very good job with readability and clarity. One of the weaknesses of these other commentaries is that sometimes they're not as readable. Now, that's with an exception. I think when you're talking about France, I think he's very accessible. He has a shorter commentary that is very accessible. I think it's enjoyable. Carson and Quarles are very enjoyable reads, but sometimes some of the other commentators do get kind of technical. There's three other books I have over here on this table that I would recommend you consider studying, especially after you've gone through Church of Christ stuff. I would start out with Church of Christ stuff and get a good foundation before I moved into something else. But there's three books. One's a handbook on the New Testament use of the Old Testament. That's basically setting up the hermeneutic principles you need to use when you're interpreting, when you're looking at the New Testament quoting an Old Testament passage. Then there's an expanded version of that, a commentary on the New Testament use of the Old Testament. And then there's another book called Exploring the New Exodus in John by Paul Coxon over here that also deals with interpreting the Old Testament in light of the New. I think those are all very beneficial. And two notes that I would point out is always pay attention to footnotes. Sometimes that makes for tedious reading, but that's how you find good material. A guy may be right on one subject, and he's, for the most part, wrong on everything else, but he can point you in the direction of someone who he learned it from that maybe will bring you some clarity. Coincidentally, I was just going to make this as a point of reference and encouragement to come back to future studies. As I was looking through Mike Criswell's commentary, he quotes Dad in his sermons on the Sermon on the Mount. And we're getting to enjoy some of that material this week. It's some really good material. I hope you'll join us for that. But when you look at footnotes, you're going to learn a lot more about other books and other works. All right.